So this morning, as we are gathered here, it's a great privilege for us to be in the presence of God. And unlike what the children of Israel did in the Old Testament, we are given a greater privilege of coming into the presence of God, into the nearness of God, and to praise and worship Him. And that's a great privilege, and that's what exactly we will look at this morning. And the verse that I want to focus is from Exodus chapter 24 and verse 16. Exodus 24, verse 16. We'll be looking at the whole chapter, but the emphasis of the title will be based on verse 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Let's look unto God for his guidance this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this time as we are looking to thy word that may speak to our hearts and encourage us this morning, and that we may delight to look at the ways in which you are speaking to our hearts even this morning, and try and enjoy your presence this morning. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. We ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, we were looking at five distinct instances where God called Moses unto himself. And as we were looking at those instances, God is revealing certain aspects of his nature and preparing Moses as a vessel to fulfill the purposes of God. We looked at from Exodus chapter 3, the revelation of his principle. Exodus 19, verse 3, the revelation of, Exodus chapter 3, verse 4, the revelation of his person. Second time, Exodus 19, 3, revelation of his principles. Exodus 19, 20, the revelation of his purity. And today we will look at Revelation chapter 24, the revelation of his pattern. And we will look into the certain aspects of this, the pattern that God lays down before Moses through the sanctuary. And as I mentioned, each time God is revealing certain aspects of his nature and his will. And along with Moses, God is preparing the people. And at this point, they are coming to a place where they can meet together, right? So God was, distant from them, but God is trying to approach and come and dwell, and want to dwell among the people. So there need to be a preparation in various aspects of their life. And this is, we are coming to that the final phase of the preparation where God is prepared to come and dwell among his people. So this is the fourth time that God called Moses unto himself, and each time there was a purpose. The first time when he called, it was concerning the commission. God wanted to call Moses. Then there was the covenant between the children of Israel and God, and the commandments, the third instance. Now it's the communion. Now God wants to manifest his presence in the tabernacle, and so that so the Lord says in chapter 25:22, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. So that's the whole idea here, that God, wants to come and dwell among them. So in order to set the stage for his dwelling among them, God wants to make sure that they follow this pattern. And that's what this chapter is all about, and also the following portion of this of the rest of the book of Exodus. So, just want to look at four instances here from this particular chapter. We will look at verses 1-3. We will look at the 70 who was called, and Moses and Nadab and Abihu. And so we see that God is inviting them. Then we'll look at verses 3-8, the sprinkling of the blood, the sacrifice. Then there is the sight, the body of heaven, verses 9-11. Then finally, towards the end, the sanctuary, towards the end, and also from verse chapter 25 onwards. So the Lord is, the Lord is revealing this pattern in that section there. Now let us look at verses 1-3. There we see something quite interesting there in the first two verses. So the Lord said, "Come up." Okay. Then after that he says, "Worship ye far off." Then he again says, shall not come nigh. Then he says, neither shall the people go up with him. So, on one side God says, come on, come into my presence. But there is some restrictions. The Lord says that, you worship far off and do not come near. And people, they should not draw close to the presence of God. So that's the very setup that we see as we look into this into this first portion of this chapter, and as we look at the Old Testament, that's the message that we get, concerning the tabernacle, concerning the dealings of God with His people. Always there is a restriction. Always there is a limitation, and they were required to meet some requirements, and yet they are not able to come all the way into the nearness of God. Same thing that we see in Leviticus 16:2, says, "And the Lord said to Moses," that's when the temple and the tabernacle was set up, "Tell Aaron and your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." So, not only here, finally when the tabernacle was set up, says that not to come at just any time. They cannot just walk in into the presence of God. And that's the message that God was trying to convey there in the Old Testament. And the consequence is very severe. It says, you may not die, lest he die. So that's a very serious consequence if you violate God's commandment. It contrasts to, and also it is being highlighted in the book in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 6-10. I don't want to read the whole section, but the message is clear. In verse 7, the high priest went alone once a year, and that too with blood, right? And offered himself and for the sins of the people. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit indicating that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest. So he was not allowed to come into the presence of God as he wanted. It's only once a year, a privilege that God has given them. This is quite contrast to what we have in the New Testament. Praise God for what God has opened for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19-21, a very familiar passage. we have the boldness to enter into the holiest, into the very place where God put restrictions for the high priest to enter in the Old Testament, has been opened to us. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. So we have the boldness to enter into the holiest. And the basis of that you see as the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Not the blood of, you know, bulls and goats or any other sacrificial animal. It is the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know, we have the access into the presence of God, into the holiest. And it's a new and different way. It's not through the Old Testament sacrifices. It's an entirely new way that God opened to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the veil, that is through his flesh, that is his offering on the cross of Calvary. And not only that, we have a high priest, you know, who is there for us so that we could come before him. And not only that, you know, we can come not just once a year, just like the Old Testament high priest, but, you know, any time and with any of our needs. Again, we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In time of need. No, not when God opens the door for us at a particular time, but when we are pressed with a very need, when we are, you know, with our infirmities that we face in our spiritual life. God wants to help us, and he's there to help us, and we can run into the presence of God, into the holiest, into the before the throne of grace, and ask God for his guidance. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the high priest, is able to sympathize with us. You know, he knows the human struggles, as he himself, you know, has been a human being, and he's able to understand and help us in time of need. So that's a very unique distinction that we see in the New Testament. As we, as believers, you know, we have the privilege to come into the presence of God without any restrictions, into the holiest, all because of Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood for us. So let us use that opportunity. Let us use that privilege that God has given us, so that, you know, that we can overcome all the struggles and infirmities that we face every day in our life. And he's there to support us. He's there to help us and guide us in our struggles. Now, let's look at the second section, which deals with the sprinkling of the blood. And here, prior to sprinkling, we read about an altar being set up, and verse 5 talks about burnt offerings and peace offerings that was offered. You know, if you remember in chapter 19, we were looking at the third time when God called Moses. There were a lot of restrictions. God said, God set up boundaries, right? And they were not allowed to touch the mount. We see they need to sanctify. So all those limitations were set up, and they were not able to come. But here we see a difference. Not emphasizing on the restrictions, but, you know, they are given a step higher here to come into the presence of God. And I truly believe it is because of that blood. There was no blood in the previous instance, but here there is that sacrificial blood, and there was sprinkling, and a covenant is set up here. So if you look at in the previous section, then the people, place, and the priests need to be sanctified. Here we see that verse 6, and Moses took half of the blood and put it in basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. We see the sprinkling on the altar, on the place, and also on the people. Verse 8 talks about the blood of the covenant, and the blood was sprinkled on the people. And also we see that being brought before us through Hebrews chapter 9. What was happened there is being captured there in the New Testament, as a contrast to what Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So he, in chapter 9, verse 23 onwards, there says that neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Chapter 9, verse 12. And because of that precious blood, our conscience has been cleansed. We are given the privilege of coming into the presence of God, not being troubled by the sin in our heart. Our sins have been completely forgiven, cleansed, and we have the access to come before His presence. And also it talks about the covenant. People, the Israelites, as soon as this all the book of the covenant was read, people said that we will obey, we will be obedient to your word, and they are unable to keep those law because of their flesh and sin. But when it comes to the New Testament, we are enabled by the Holy Spirit, by God's Lord's intercession, and the Spirit is there to help us to fulfill what is required by God, by our constant fellowship and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we also know this blood, the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So now we have this new covenant, not the old covenant. We have this new covenant through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the sight. It was a very quite impressive sight on that day when God appeared on that mount. Verse 10 says, "And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in its clearness." So we see that God came down, and one thing that characterizes his presence is the heavenly nature there, the body of heaven in all its clearness. When God came upon that mount, it looked like heaven. It looked like he manifested his heavenly glory there. They were able to see the God of Israel with all his holiness and purity, and manifested with heavenly characteristics. And we also read about the sapphire stone. And before that, Wilson has put together a wonderful illustration of that setting there, God coming down and manifesting his glory so wonderfully. And Moses was being called to his presence, and it is so, it's very amazing because it has the touch of heaven, and people were able to see and appreciate that. And thank you, Wilson, for that. And it's very encouraging to see that sight, you know, being illustrated here. And one thing that we see there is the sapphire stone, and you know, there are other references in connection with this sapphire stone. One is one of the stones that is on the high priest's breastplate. So it is, you know, as he goes into the holy place, you know, this they have the stones, and each one represents a tribe. And you know, even though the people are not able to come into the presence of God, their name is being carried into the very presence of God through these stones. This is one of those. And also, in a coming day, in Revelation 21, verse 19, when the New Jerusalem, it's the foundation, one of the foundation stones of the New Jerusalem. So it has a very attachment to the very presence of God, and also not in connection with the Old Testament priest, but also it has some connection to a day when God is going to set up His kingdom. Now, let's look at the last section, that is the pattern. That's the big idea behind this, behind what, you know, God is trying to bring before us. You know, as He was calling Moses unto Himself, God is delivering a pattern, basically a pattern of the tabernacle, pattern of the place where He's going to come down and dwell among His people. So one thing that we notice here is that this pattern has to be completely followed through from its inception to His completion. And God very much required that. And that's, you know, that is very important for us, not only to the Old Testament, but we will look at that in terms of the New Testament gathering. You know, whenever God wants His people to come together in a local place, there are certain things that need to be fully adhered based on the Word of God, and in order for God to come down and be among us. And the reason that God, you know, is among us this morning is because we are adhering to the principles that God, with the Word of God, has set before us, you know, through His Word, as we align ourselves with the New Testament principles. So that is very important for us to understand. And this Old Testament principle will, you know, highlight the importance of that. God requires it, not just like, you know, what man feels good in a gathering, but it has to be adhered to the New Testament pattern. And here is a perfect example of what God demands from His people. So He's going to come down. He's going to dwell among His people. And before that, you know, that tabernacle need to be set up exactly as God is going to instruct His people. So we will look at some of these here as when we look at the pattern of the tabernacle. So that was the instruction from God, the first phase. Now God, that's what's happening here from chapter 24 onwards, that God is, I believe that God has, you know, showed a visual representation of the tabernacle, because Moses is pretty sure, you know, exactly what the minute details of the tabernacle, every vessel and the shape and the size and the engravings, everything is very much clear to Moses. There's no doubt. There's no debate between Moses and the people, you know, what where it goes and how it need to be made. But no, Moses exactly knew or has seen that pattern, and there is no there should not be any deviation from the pattern that God has shown Moses. So there is that instruction that was clearly given to Moses. Then there is the construction phase, right? So Moses is not building it. So God equips other people with special grace to, you know, and wisdom to, you know, come up. To build this furniture, these vessels, and what is in the mind of Moses has to be conveyed to these people who are building it, and in that process, nothing should be lost. So that there's a construction phase, and there's an inspection phase, right? So once that the vessels are constructed, the furniture, so Moses goes back and he is inspecting it, and he wants to make sure that every portion, every aspect of everything that has been built together conforms to the pattern that he has seen, and in order for God to come down and dwell. And after the inspection, there is the erection. They are setting up this tabernacle, and everything has to go in its proper place. It has to be exactly reared according to the plan of God. And we see that rest of this book is very much focusing on the fact that all these have been completely followed. So there is no deviation from the plan of God. And each step is important. Each step is inspected. And once that is complete, God is going to come down and dwell among them. So, first is the instruction. When we look at the instruction given to Moses, the importance of following the instruction or the pattern, there are seven verses which highlights the importance of it, both from the Old Testament and the New Testament is being emphasized here. So I don't want to go into details of that. You know, I just want to just brought before you to show how important it is for them to follow the pattern. And chapter 25, verse 9, according to all that I saw, shew thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So God is saying that, you know, you have to make exactly according to the pattern that I have shown. Every instrument, everything that involves in that tabernacle has to be a reflection of that pattern that God has shown him. And again in 25:40, it's being highlighted, and 26:30, 27:8, all telling that there was a pattern that was shown before Moses. And coming into the New Testament, Acts 7:44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking to Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. And Hebrews 8:5, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to the mount. So seven times it is being emphasized that they need to make this a tabernacle according to the pattern that God has shown them. And when we come to the construction phase, when we come to the instruction, we see the construction phase, we also see seven occurrences from chapter 39. One thing that being highlighted here is that chapter 39, verse 5, and the curious girdle of the ephod that was upon it was of the same, according to the work thereof, of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. So 39 verse 5, 39 verse 7, as the Lord commanded, 39 verse 21, as Lord commanded, 39 verse 26, as the Lord commanded, and 39:29, as the Lord commanded Moses, verse 31, as the Lord commanded, and verse 32, all that the Lord commanded, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So here again, seven times, it is confirmed that, you know, it was the construction was based on the model that God showed Moses, and it adhered well to that pattern there. Now comes the inspection. Now, after it is constructed, you know, Moses is inspecting these furniture, these vessels. Chapter 39, verse 42 and 43, according to all the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. And verse 43, and Moses did look upon all the work, and behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it, and Moses blessed them. So Moses looked at the work, looked at everything that was put together, and says, looked upon all the work. Every minute detail of its making was, you know, inspected by Moses, and he is attesting that they had done as the Lord had commanded, even so had they done it. So everything was confirmed. Everything was done according to God's command, and that was important, and that need to be followed. And not only that, not only in the inspection, the final phase of erection, in chapter 40, we see again seven times, verse 19 says, towards the end, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 21, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, as the Lord commanded Moses. And verse 25, as the Lord commanded Moses. Again, verse 27, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. And finally, verse 32, as the Lord commanded Moses. So, there was no change. It was absolutely followed. And Moses is pleased with the final phase of seeing the actual tabernacle being set up. It was according to the pattern that he saw, and it is as the Lord commanded. And we see it's being highly emphasized here, and I believe such an emphasis should also be in the New Testament tabernacle. You know, God talks about the habitation of God. God wants to come down and dwell among us, not only in a believer, but among God's people who are called by His name. You know, talks about the true tabernacle in Hebrews chapter 8:12, and also Hebrews 9 verses 11 and 12, you know, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by the greater and more perfect tabernacle. So we have a more perfect tabernacle, a gathering of God's people, and we have obtained eternal redemption, not limited atonement, but, you know, eternal redemption. And not only that, you know, this pattern, you know, in order for God to dwell among us or indwell among us, you know, we need to adhere to the pattern that God has for us in the New Testament. And Ephesians 2:19-22 is very clear. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have this pattern there, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So see that, in whom all things are fitly framed together. So all pieces come together, just like the tabernacle. No, everything has been precisely made according to the plan of God, and it has to fit together. And one distinction is that it groweth, right? So the tabernacle is not growing, but this is growing. This is growing into an holy temple in the Lord. And verse 22, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's where the habitation of God, God dwelling in this wonderful edifice, the temple of God. And it's growing. Everything fits together properly. And that's important for us. And also, Apostle Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 3:10-11, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth upon it, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have this wonderful pattern, the master builder, the architect. The pattern of the tabernacle was revealed to Moses in the Old Testament, the pattern of the habitation of God in the New Testament is being revealed through Apostle Paul, who is a master builder. It doesn't mean that he's building it. He's not the architect, but he has given the plan and he's implementing or sharing that plan. And it has to be on the foundation that is laid, that Jesus Christ. And so it is important for a local gathering to see, to make sure that we follow the New Testament pattern for God's presence to be among us. And that's the beauty of God's Word. You know, whenever we have some issues with, you know, everything that goes in the Scripture, the ministry and roles of different believers, men, women, and other, you know, outreach evangelists, everything, you know, we can find answers in the Old Testament. We come back to the Word of God and how it was being done in the early church. That's the pattern, and we see that even today, many of the churches has been deviated. They have their own agenda, they have their own plans, thinking that that may be a better plan, but we always make sure, we need to make sure that we adhere to the plan that God has given to us, because this is the habitation of God. God is coming down and dwelling among us, and it was important for the Old Testament, the tabernacle. The same is true with us. And we enjoy a more greater privilege than coming to the tabernacle. No, we have the access into the very presence of God. I just want to conclude. I don't want to comment on the last slide here. I just saw an observation here from chapter 25 to chapter 40 when this pattern is being revealed. And in the right in the middle of that, On the outside we have the tabernacle and the priesthood and the preparation. We have two important issues there. That is the condition of the children of Israel and their position there. The idolatry in chapter 32 and 33, and the covenant that is chapter 34 and 35 being renewed there. So when God sets up this pattern, you know, right in the middle is man with his sinful condition and in his inability to, you know, inability to follow the principles of God. Yet he's been carried by the provisions of God and allows him to come into the presence of. Maybe we can discuss it, you know, limited time and further see anything different here. So let us adhere to the pattern that God has given to us and to make sure that God is pleased with us, that He may dwell among us, and also let us make use of the opportunity to come before Him and get help whenever we need, so that we may grow spiritually.